So if you want to start off introducing yourself to our listeners by stating your name, what year you graduated, whether you went to grad school, and what you're up to now.
Yep, sounds good. My name is Jordan Claytor. I graduated from Elon and Elon Biology in 2017. And immediately following that, I started graduate school at the University of Washington in Seattle, where I got my PhD in biology. And now I am a teaching assistant professor at UNC Chapel Hill.
Perfect. Awesome. So let's start off actually with your PhD program at in Washington. Can you tell us more, like a little bit about what you studied during this program?
So the program was just like a general biology department, but specifically I did research on paleontology. And so our lab was really focusing on mammals that lived alongside the dinosaurs and ones that lived right after the dinosaurs went extinct. Really looking at how mammals diversified while they were living with the dinosaurs and then kind of were able to move into all the open spaces after the dinosaurs went extinct. Half of my project was on the mammals that lived immediately following the mass extinction. So we had like fossils that were in like 80,000 years after the asteroid hit. And so really, really short time spans, which is cool. And then another part of my project, we focused in on one mammal that actually lived alongside the dinosaurs, but was kind of one of the earliest examples we have of mammals starting to become like semi-aquatic. And so it was living similar to like an otter today, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. And what got you originally like interested in paleontology, and why did you want to focus on that during your PhD program?
I was always a little kid who was obsessed with like dinosaurs and nature. And then it kind of transitioned into more just like nature, wildlife, climate kind of stuff as I got older, because I kind of assumed there's not really jobs related to paleontology. And then I kind of like kept doing paleontology. So any biology class, they were like, write a research paper on this, or anytime there was like freedom, it always ended up being a paleontology thing. And so when I was looking for internships, I was talking to my advisor, Dr. Kingston, about a bunch. And so he's like, well, you should look into a paleontology one. You're applying for like a bunch of other ones. Let's just try. And so I applied for one at the Smithsonian in DC. And that was the only internship I got of all the applications. I was like, yeah, I guess I'm doing this. And I kind of got to learn like more about the field and like see, like, yes, it is still an active field. Yes, there are possible careers with it out in paleontology, and even outside of the field, you can still study it and get other jobs. And yeah, I kind of had that last minute kind of senior year rush to figure out my life, get into grad school. And yeah.
And that has also not changed. Being a senior myself, it's going through the same process. So that's great. I know it's a part of this PhD program. You had the opportunity to work with the Burke Museum. Could you talk a little bit about the field work you conducted and what was the benefit of conducting field work while also completing a PhD?
It's really cool. The Burke Museum is kind of, it's like right on campus. It was like a half a mile walk from my office. So A, exercise every day. But B, we got to like have our fossils like right next to us and like have the equipment and all the stuff of a natural history museum right there. So working at the Burke was always a lot of fun. And then as part of just like our lab generally in the field, you need to find the fossils before you can study the fossils. And so field work's kind of an integral component. A lot of the fossils that I ended up studying were found in like the 70s and 80s. They're really big pushes of field work then. And then my advisor over the last like 10 to 15 years or so has been doing another big push of field work in the same areas. And so we essentially were just trying to like revisit these sites, recollect, understand them better than what we used to. And so was it my first summer of grad school? I went out for 6 weeks, and all of our field sites were in eastern Montana near a town called Jordan, Montana, which is ironic. And it was a really, really cool experience. I mean, it's 6 weeks of just kind of camping, and then during the day, you're just out collecting fossils, prospecting. So, just kind of looking around areas that we've collected fossils prior to see if there's any new sites that we can find and collect from. And yeah, and then most of the summers after that, I was out for usually 1 to 2 weeks or so doing field work. And then we also had this program that we did out in the field called the Discoveries in Geoscience or the DIG Field School. And essentially, we brought out K through 12 educators to the field. And so these were all like science teachers, math teachers, anything of that teachers that will teach any of the topics that are really relevant to our field research. And so they'd come out for like almost a week. They'd do field work with us. We'd be their teachers essentially. We'd have have really cool conversations with people from like all across the country about their lives and their teaching philosophies and kind of the importance of their job teaching science to like the next generation. And yeah, that was always a super fun part of the field work too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that also combines your like two passions of like teaching and also paleontology, which is very interesting. And kind of going off of that, you mentioned that you also taught classes during your PhD program. Have you always had kind of a love for teaching as well as biological research, and how did those two intertwine while you were in Washington?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the roots of teaching started at Elon because I sophomore year got asked to tutor for one what was it? One of the geography classes, like one of the 100 levels. And so I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And thinking as a college student, like, I'm gonna get paid. I'm not gonna say no. And then junior year, the biology department sent out an email saying, hey, we need a TA for our non-majors biology class. I was like, you know what? Good experience. Again, I get paid. And why not? And so met with Dr. Kathy Gallucci, who just recently retired. And we kind of clicked instantly. And so I ended up TAing with her from junior year to the end of my senior year. So 4 semesters TAing with her for, I think I ended up 2 class sessions most semesters. And I don't think I realized it until like hindsight, but like I really enjoyed doing it. Like it was just a lot of fun. I loved working with all the students. Like it was always a weird kind of thing because I'm also a student. So it's like, I want to be your friend, but not till the semester's over.
Exactly.
But I really enjoyed that. And then so when it came to graduate school, one of the things like I wasn't aware of until like I was doing interviews and stuff is like you do get paid in PhD programs in the sciences, but you get paid either through grants. So like your advisor has money or you get money, or you get paid through TAing. And so like when they mentioned like, oh, you'll have to teach, I was like, oh, cool. That'll be fun. I mean, done it before, but now it was just like me alone in the room teaching a lab. And there was a little bit of an adjustment, but like once I kind of got my footing, I was just really enjoyed doing that. I got to work with some really great like teaching faculty who like really like shaped, I think, the trajectory of my life throughout grad school and like helped me get into the job I'm in now and stuff. So I owe a lot of credit to them. But yeah, I just really enjoyed that. And as I was finishing up my program, I started to like really think like, what parts of this do I actually enjoy? And the research side, there were fun parts, but there's a lot of it that I was just like not enjoying. And the teaching part, yeah, there are not fun parts, but overall, I enjoyed it. It was fun, and I just liked interacting with the students. And so when it came down to like picking a career, I was like, I want to do something that I actually like. And I'm actually gonna, yes, there'll be stressful days, but like I'm actually gonna like enjoy. And something that I do feel like actually makes more of an impact on like a wide array. Like research is great and I love building the knowledge of the sciences, but I also think it's just as important that we train the next generation of scientists to think critically and to be able to do the research.
Yeah, especially in this day and age, education is of the utmost importance.
Yes,
Absolutely.
it is.
Absolutely. So, as an educator yourself, what skills do you feel like you've gained from studying biology in college?
Critical thinking, I think, is like the number one skill. I think that was the biggest transition for me, like going from like high school into Elon, is that Elon biology is like we are going to test not just can you memorize something, but can you apply it to a new situation? Can you use your brain instead of just regurgitating facts, essentially? And once that transition kind of clicked in like my first semester, I was like, kept thinking like, oh, I'm going to be so much better prepared than people who are just memorizing stuff. So that was the one thing, I think the biggest thing. I also think like in a day and age where we're kind of bombarded by like stats and statistics and graphs and whatnot, having some sort of background in that helps and like maybe not panicking when I see stuff, or maybe taking the time to break down a figure instead of just whatever the tweet associated with it says I should take from it. So I think that critical thinking and like rational thinking has really helped. It's helped me stay sane over the last 10 years or so.
Absolutely. And also being able to debunk a lot of things too, and being like, I actually know this. I learned this myself.
Yeah, I
For
became like
sure.
my family's resident scientist. I mean, like my mom is in more management and like side, and my dad is more computer science side. So he's a somewhat science background. But like when the pandemic hit, everyone's just looking at me being like, can you answer this? I'm like, I guess I can try.
Yep. And that also stays the same. It's definitely a trend within the STEM majors of being asked, I'm sick. What's wrong with me? Can you explain this? That kind of stuff. So that definitely travels over the years as well.
Yeah, I remember my senior year, I was taking immunology, and like beginning of the semester, my friend and our roommates all got sick. We were fine for like a week or two, and then we all developed this horrible cough, and the cough stayed for like 3 months. And I remember I came to class one day, and like my cough meds had wore off, so I just started coughing at the end of class. And it was Dr. Miyamoto looked at me and she was like, "Hey, have you been tested for whooping cough?" We think it was the health center just kept telling us we all had walking pneumonia because they didn't want to test us.
Yep. That sounds
But
about right.
I just assumed they didn't have the test. Like, who gets whooping cough or
In this day and
COVID?
age.
But we like tracked it back, and the first roommate who got sick was from Rhode Island, and there was a whooping cough outbreak in Rhode Island like right before winter break. And so we were like, maybe, maybe not fit the entire symptoms perfectly, but.
And shout out Dr. M for catching that one. That's impressive. Definitely
Yes.
impressive.
I think she was tired of me coughing in class. She's like, please go get help.
Please get tested. Oh, goodness. Okay, so if you went back to school, would you still major in biology? And do you think your education helped you in real life application and understanding the science of everyday life? I know we touched on that a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. 100% would. And I would probably try to get involved in the biology department earlier than what I did. I think. I kind of had the mentality, and this is just kind of how I approach things. Like my first year, like just getting my footing, I don't do a lot except just like I just need to understand the way a system works before I can start like interacting with it.
I
And so
agree.
my first year, I didn't really do anything. I think I went to like one bio club meeting. I was like, that is it. It wasn't really until like the end of my sophomore year. I was like studying abroad, but like I was starting to look more into like, okay, what can I come back to and do? And then like junior year and the senior year where I really like got really involved in biology department and things. And so that would be the one thing I would change is just like, no, get involved your first year.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And I think I was also a similar way my first year. It just takes a little to get your footing, but the biology department is really great. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So a lot of students feel stuck within only science after they graduate with a bio degree, as if they can't exactly branch out into other fields. So what advice would you give to them? I know a lot of the pipeline is biology, right, to like pre-health or something like that. You took a different path. What advice would you give to those students feeling a little stuck?
I think the first part is don't feel the pressure that you have to go into a pre-health or medical field. There is a lot. I think we need to train people for those fields. And I think that's why there's such a big push in those fields. However, there are other parts of biology that we also need people in. And so if you do not feel like that side of the science kind of fits for you, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And there still are ton of careers on the other side. And you can still, like, I talked to some of my students, they're like, I like cell molecular biology, but I don't want to be a doctor. And I'm like, cool, go in the biotech. And they're like, wait, I can do that? I'm like, yeah. Like, you live in the biotech capital of the US, like, go explore. So that's kind of, you don't want to get like pigeonholed in into like you have to be in the medical field. And I came in very stubborn and I was like, I'm not going to do that. But I know a lot of people feel the pressure to kind of make that switch. And I always give the advice of like, Elon, I think when I was there, I had like the integrative biology major. And like
Yes, we
that
still have
forces
that.
you to take a bunch of different biology classes. And by doing that, it helped me figure out what I didn't want to do. But for some people, I know it helped them figure out exactly what they want to do. And I think both are valuable. And so, like, just take a bunch of different classes. Don't stay in one area. Try something new. Yeah, and like that helped me like pick up randomly have two minors too. And I'm like, did I think I wanted a minor in geography? No, but I ended up getting one.
Exactly, minors just get added on a little bit at the end.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
remember trying to add maybe a third one in Dr. Kings and was like, no, stop
That's a
it.
common Elon theme of like two majors, four minors, one major, three minors. We love to overbook ourselves here.
Yes, we do. Which, don't do that your first year. Wait till your senior year to really overbook yourself.
Exactly. And I'm in the thick of it now. So, yes, for sure. So, if you could go back and talk to your college self, what piece of advice would you give yourself back in the day?
No need to be so stressed constantly. Everything works out.
It
It
will all be okay.
will all be okay. Don't take night classes. You are not gonna be able to do that. You will make it through physics. I don't think I figured myself out to like the end of my sophomore year, and I think I was like panicking because everyone else seemed so self-assured. And then like I talked to like most of my friends are still people I met my first year at Elon. And so, like, I talked to them now, and we just all went to a wedding together, and like, we were reminiscing, and they were like, "We thought you had it together," and I'm like, "I thought you all had it together." No one really knows what they're doing. Everyone's just kind
Yes.
of faking it. And so, if you can just join along and fake the confidence, eventually, it kind of becomes real confidence and gets you to where you need to go.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. So now, switching over, what advice would you give to current and future Elon biology students that helped you get through it?
Get to know your professors. I don't think I've met a better set of professors and like people who really just want to see you succeed. And like, yes, they may be tough on you, but that's their job is to push you and to get you to where you need to be. And so getting to know your professors, and I'd say like everyone you have a class, the biology professor you have a class with, if they have office hours, just visit at least once. Come up with a question about the class, come up with a question about their life, just like say hi, make sure they know your name, make sure you know their name, and just like make those connections. By like the end of my senior year, I felt like I knew so many of my faculty members so well. And it just like really made me feel like I was a part of the community. And something that like anytime Elon Biology asked me to do anything, I'm like, yes, 100%. Because like they helped me so much. And then so I just like want to return the favor any way I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are so fortunate to have such a great set of faculty members. And I know that they want nothing more than to help their students. So that's really nice to have. And I think that we don't get that at every school. So that's really something special about Elon as well.
Yeah, it's definitely a very special department.
Yeah, absolutely. So my last question for you, what is one thing that you find super important that helped you advance further in your career and education?
Finding that thing that set me apart from everyone and not viewing it as like a weakness, but as an asset, I think really helped me. Like, the paleontology part, like not everyone's into that. And I remember like even on like my college applications, I like put that in some of them. And when I did interviews, they remembered that. And I think some of my Elon professors also like remembered me writing a random paper on like the Permian mass extinction. It's like, yeah, sure, why not? And like I think there was part of me that maybe felt like maybe I shouldn't be doing that, but also like I think it helps you stand out, it makes you unique. It makes people remember you, and that's just important generally, but also like for jobs and stuff. If you have something that's unique about you or unique skill or something, play it up. Don't think it as some hindrance or something that makes you different than or something you should not, I guess, be proud of, because it's usually something you can leverage to put yourself where you want to be career-wise or educational-wise.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I absolutely agree. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this interview and this
Yeah, of course.
podcast. It was really great to talk to you.